This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American Research Professor, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute. And Ukraine crisis connects to the rest of the planet. People moving around, waiting for what comes next. We see in the markets, especially in the commodity markets, anticipation of hard road ahead. However, when we turn to Latin America, the New World, there are many different voices, and I'm going to concentrate with the professor's guidance on the voices of adversaries of the United States these last years and well-known adversaries who have had passing relations and conversations with Russia over the last half century, dating back to the first Cold War. And many commentators are now using the language of a new Cold War, a second Cold War underway because of Ukraine crisis. The road ahead is the fog of war, the fog of diplomacy. So, Professor, a very good evening to you. I begin with Venezuela. The news from Venezuela in these last hours, not too surprising, but there it is. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro expressed support for Russian President Vladimir Putin in connection with Moscow's recognition of the Luhansk and Donetsk People's Republics. He advocated the search for diplomatic ways to de-escalate in Donbass, said the leader of the Maduro regime. Putin is trying to protect peace in his region. I mention that in particular because Mr. Maduro has marched many times in Moscow, visited with Mr. Putin many times. It doesn't at first strike as surprising, but then again, this is an example of lining up with Moscow on the basis of grabbing a piece of sovereign territory. Does that suit Venezuela, especially because of its ambitions against Colombia and other parts of South America? Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening to you, John. A pleasure to be on the show. To me, it's interesting that you hear out of Venezuela, as well as Cuba and Nicaragua, a lot of barking, but very little biting. And this is actually consistent with what we've been talking about during the previous weeks on this program. On the one hand, what's happening with Russia right now and the visit of Yuri Borisov and some of these statements by others, such as the Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov, is Russia's attempt to create a sense of danger or threat in the U.S. backyard to offset its play with what's going on in the Ukraine itself as part of its maneuverings in Donbass. It's also a reminder of some of the reasons why in this interdependent world, the activities and the existence of relatively anti-U.S. Non-democratic authoritarian regimes create strategic threat to the United States, not necessarily so much in their own right, but through the channels that they provide for other actors such as Russia, but also China and in Iran. But with respect to Venezuela, yes, there were a number of different intended activities announced, expanded energy cooperation, expanded defense cooperation, expanded health cooperation, which I presume is talking about some of the vaccines that Russia donated, the Sputnik vaccines and others, as well as some other areas such as education. What was interesting, however, is that despite all the terminology of expanding training and expanding military activities in all of the existing areas, neither in Venezuela, nor in Nicaragua, nor in Cuba, was anything new actually announced. That's not to say that it's not going to happen, but I think it really goes back to, Russia has every incentive to create the illusion of projection globally and the illusion of creating crisis in our own near abroad. And yet Russia's intention and capabilities of actually doing anything significant and sustainable is relatively limited, and the number of allies that it's able to work with are also relatively limited.
And Maduro standing with Putin, although it's not surprising, does it strengthen Maduro as an international player now that he's identified with Mr. Putin and by logic linking with Beijing as well? Does that help him in the region?
Specifically with respect to that, I don't think that anybody was particularly surprised that Maduro would ally with Putin, nor do I think anybody in the democratic international community is changing their position on the Donbass and in Ukraine. If nothing else, this actually may help to clarify Russia's malevolent intent here. But the interesting thing for me in terms of the statements of Maduro, but also Nicaragua and in Cuba, especially Nicaragua, is that whereas in 2008, in the crisis over Georgia, Daniel Ortega explicitly supported the Russian-backed breakaway republics in Georgia. In the Ukraine crisis, previously, it supported the breakaway republics. To the best of my knowledge, the Ortega regime has not yet actually done what it did on the previous two occasions. And so in some ways, what's surprising is the absence of a stronger, if predictable, reaction from, you know, some of, frankly, Russia's lackeys here in the Americas.
We're going to go to Cuba in just a moment, but I want to take time to say not all parts of Latin America are silent on this violation of sovereignty. Argentina calling for a political solution to Ukraine crisis. That's the government that is troubled by its debts, but still speaking out when it does not have to. Right now, I find that a significant voice, given that we've talked recently about Argentina going and looking for partners worldwide. I mention, in contrast to Argentina speaking out, calling for a political solution, it could have maintained silence. India has kept back from this conflict. There are other nations. We could go through them all. Kept back. Does it suit Argentina to get involved in an international tug of war here? Does this in some way help Argentina's position in Latin America?
It certainly doesn't, John. And I think you have to interpret Argentina's statement in the context of the previous statement when Argentine President Alberto Fernandez went over and actually met with Putin. And as we talked about on the previous program, he said somewhat in an inopportune fashion that he wanted to use Russia. He wanted to use Russia to get away from dependence on the United States and the International Monetary Fund. He would offer Argentina as a way for Russia to expand its presence in Latin America. And of course, there was the sensitive issue of Argentina's position on the Falklands Islands, otherwise known to our British friends. The Malvinas, otherwise known to our British friends as the Falklands. So in some way, the fact that Argentina did not support Putin more strongly after the relatively strong and almost pandering statements by President Fernandez last week probably reflects that he got a lot of pushback from those statements in Argentina itself and understands that, as you pointed out, this really doesn't serve Argentina. So in many ways, although it seems like support for Putin, you can also interpret it as Argentina really kind of pulling back against some of the statements they previously made.
We're going to turn to Cuba now, Professor, because that is in the news always. And of course, the Cuban-Russian relationship is very long-standing, and the Cuban regime has a deal of authority in Argentina, in Nicaragua, throughout the Latin American continent. And so Cuba and Russia strike me as the strength or weakness of the Russian aggression. Professor Evan Ellis is the Latin American Research Professor at U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're looking at early days of Ukraine crisis and Latin America positioning itself to deal with the spike in commodity prices, which we can anticipate. At the same time, the possibility of a worldwide slowdown because of that spike in prices hitting exactly at the wrong time as all of us are emerging from the pandemic that badly damaged Latin America and its economies. Latin America going into a winter as North America goes into a spring and summer. This is the New World Report. This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor.